Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
LSU is number two in the country in baseball. And man, I've enjoyed watching and even listening to here on WWL LSU baseball over the years. And they're hot right now. Big game this afternoon. You'll hear that just a little while here on WWL. And man, if you happen to watch the NBA playoff game last night between Golden State and Houston at Golden State, what an incredible game. I mean, last second, it was decided. And Golden State won. Has a 3-1 lead over the Houston Rockets. But on Golden State's home court, Houston did a really good job. That was really, I mean, a very, very exciting NBA game. Looked like it was getting a little chippy there for a while. And I love that Archie Manning is saying that he is really happy with the Saints' selection of Tyler Shough. Again, I look at this word, I look at his name and how it's spelled. It's totally different from how it's pronounced. So it's kind of confusing. I mean, everything in my mind wants me to say it one way, but it's Shuck. So Tyler Shuck, quarterback, a big guy, and Bobby Hebert has said really positive things about him and thinks he's going to be the starting quarterback. So I don't know about you, but I'm really excited about the Saints this year. Now, you know, we have to bring up something that, you know, you kind of hate to bring it up, but it is a reality. A lot of luck goes into teams getting to the playoffs and ultimately to the Super Bowl. And that luck comes in the form of a lack of injuries. I mean, sometimes you just, I mean, if key players are injured, and the Saints were devastated last year with injuries. If key players are injured, I mean, that really affects your team. And you know, you could have top players and hopefully nothing happens, but, you know, that's something to consider. I am very optimistic, but, you know, the Saints have to have a little luck on their sides if they're going to do really well. But I'm really excited about the season. I can't wait to get through the training camps. I can't wait to get to that first preseason game coming up in August. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. I hear the results of the Tuesday text-off. Two instrumentals that made it to number one in the country. Frankenstein was song A, made it to number one May 1973. That was song A. Song B was Pick Up the Pieces by the Average White Band. That was number one in February of 1975. Song B was the winner. Pick Up the Pieces was the winner over Frankenstein. And I can see that. I mean, I remember playing these songs when they were hits, just first, you know, coming out, being released. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of the instrumental. I mean, if you're going to write the music, I mean, just somebody come up with some lyrics. But, you know, there have been some good instrumentals over the years. And Frankenstein and Pick Up the Pieces were two of them. Pick Up the Pieces beat Frankenstein. So President Trump is talking to Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth and U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi about using the military for domestic law enforcement. And, you know, I know there are some rules and laws against using the military. And I think the biggest problem is the military's not trained. Now, I think more so now than in the past, but the military's not really trained for, you know, urban settings. They're trained for war. And that's a lot different than what domestic law enforcement does in cities. So I don't know how that's going to work, but there's something about this that is a little scary, using the military. Now, you know, sometimes there are things that happen and you need the National Guard. But using the military to help law enforcement, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's, you know, I'll look at this with an open mind, but there's something just instinctively scary about this to me. But I will look at this with an open mind because, you know, we could always use whatever help we can get here in New Orleans. And you've heard in the news, there was this 16-year-old who was shot, could have been killed, shot several times. He's in the hospital in stable condition, shot by Jefferson Parish Sheriff's deputies. There was a fast, high-speed chase, and apparently it was over a stolen car. The guy gets out of the car. The deputies chase him. Apparently he pulls out a gun, and the police shoot him. Now, if you're a parent, you need to tell your kids this. If you point a gun at police officers, they're going to shoot you. They're going to shoot you. And if you pull a gun on police officers and get shot, I mean, that's on you. So if you're a parent, teach your kids not to pull a gun on police officers. And I don't know how many people actually get away from high-speed chases. Sometimes they end up dead in an accident, or the police ultimately get them. I mean, you're not going to get away from the police. So you've kind of got to be missing some IQ numbers in your head. You've kind of got to be missing some IQ if you think you're going to get away from the police. Before we get back to your calls, and we still have a lot to get to, and we've talked about President Donald Trump celebrating his, I mean, I don't know how much celebrating he's doing, his 100th day in office. And this is a benchmark that goes back to the FDR administration. That's the first time they started judging presidents based on 100 days in office. And it is supposed to be an indication of what kind of presidency somebody is going to have. I don't know if somebody has gone back and said, okay, well, this president had a good first 100 days and a terrible presidency, or this president had a terrible 100 days and had a great presidency. I would think that somebody would go back and do some research and figure that out, somebody that has the resources to do that. But I haven't heard a collection of whether or not it really is an indication of what kind of presidency you're going to have. But that is the theory, that your first 100 days determines what kind of year you're going to have, or what kind of term you're going to have as a president. All right, let's take a look at Scoot's news briefs, and then we'll get to more of your calls and text messages. President Trump's first 100 days in office are over, and the White House is touting what they call his great accomplishments, but not everybody is taking the bait.
The White House is celebrating the Trump administration's first 100 days.
Today officially marks 100 days of promises made and promises kept by President Trump.
Spokeswoman Caroline Leavitt used a morning briefing to tick off the president's economic accomplishments.
This has truly been the most historic start to a presidency in American history.
Congress's top two Democrats see it far differently.
The worst start of any president in modern times.
Characterized by chaos, cruelty, and corruption.
100 days from hell.
Both Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries say Democrats will spend coming days highlighting the president's failures, starting in the Senate this evening.
We will take to the floor and expose Donald Trump as a disastrous president in his first 100 days. We ask America to listen.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
And here's the problem with Chuck Schumer. He's old and biased, I mean, obviously, but, you know, people aren't listening to him. I mean, a lot of people just write him off. So, you know, where are the new voices in the Democratic Party? If they don't come up with some, I mean, they're dead as a party. I mean, even though there's like an opening for Democrats to do well now, in the midterm elections. And again, if you're just tuning in, we talked about Canada's new prime minister. He just bashed the idea that Canada is going to become the 51st state. A liberal won, and a lot of experts were thinking the conservative is going to win. The fact that the liberal won may be an indication of a sort of a local, global view of conservative ideology. And Donald Trump is either going to improve the image of conservative ideology, or he's going to taint that image. And we'll see also what happens in the midterm elections coming up. All right, in a shocking turn of events, Canada's Liberals are celebrating a big victory yesterday in the election, and they have Donald Trump to thank for that.
Before the election, President Donald Trump had attacked. Trudeau had resigned, and Mark Carney, a two-time central banker, became the Liberal Party's leader and prime minister. In a concession speech, and with his own House of Commons seat still in doubt, Pierre Poilievre acknowledges Carney's win.
We'll have plenty of opportunity to debate and disagree, but tonight we come together as Canadians. We will do our job. Yes, we will do our job to hold the government to account.
Carney, in his victory speech, issued a rallying cry for a united Canada.
These are not idle threats. President Trump is trying to break us so that America can own us. That will never, ever happen.
Carney also told supporters, our old relationship with the United States is over. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
And how does Trump win if Canada does not become the 51st state? I mean, he's talked about this like he's going to make it happen. And he's got the power to make it happen. I don't think he does. I mean, how does he win? You know, maybe it's the same thing with the wall. You know, maybe Donald Trump gets a lot of sympathy from his base if he loses something. And nobody blames the loss on Donald Trump. They blame the loss of whatever, finishing the wall or getting Canada as the 51st state. They blame it not on Trump. They blame it on everybody and everything else. All right, a former prosecutor who handled the January 6 cases is warning that Donald Trump's pardons of violent criminals makes it more likely for something like January 6th to happen again.
The former Capitol riot prosecutor is warning pardons of rioters could encourage future political violence. Michael Romano worked at the Justice Department for 17 years. He resigned a few weeks ago.
I knew on January 20th, when the pardons were announced, that I needed to find my way out.
President Trump's pardons led to the release of leaders of the far-right extremist groups convicted of orchestrating violent plots to stop the peaceful transfer of power, as well as rioters convicted of brutal attacks on police.
They proudly committed crimes, and they, in many cases, filmed themselves proudly committing crimes. It was an incredibly violent day.
Romano tells the AP it could happen again.
If you support the president, and if you commit violence in support of the president, that he might insulate you from the consequences of that. He might protect you from the criminal justice system.
The president has said the sentences were ridiculous and excessive. Ed Donahue, Washington.
All right, Pentagon Chief Pete Hegseth is bragging about killing a program meant to support women in leadership roles, a program Trump signed into law and one that the Secretary of State Marco Rubio is boasting, was talking about just 2 weeks ago.
Pentagon Chief Pete Hegseth is boasting about dismantling a Defense Department program he falsely says was another woke, divisive, social justice Biden initiative. Congress created the Women, Peace, and Security program to recognize the advantages for ground commanders in having women on security and negotiating teams. In a social media post, Hegseth writes, "Politicians fawn over it, troops hate it, and he'll get rid of it." During a Senate hearing,
that tweet contains some glaring inaccuracies.
Democrat Tim Kaine says this wasn't a Biden thing, noting a GOP majority Senate unanimously passed the law creating the program in 2017, and then President Trump signed it. During his confirmation hearing to be the Joint Chiefs Chairman 4 weeks ago, Dan Kaine backed the program after seeing it in action overseas.
WPS is, I think, in a program that really helps us to understand the full spectrum of challenges that are in front of us.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
There's always been a lot of mystery about the death of Gene Hackman and his wife, and the autopsy results are finally in for the Hollywood legend Gene Hackman.
An autopsy report has confirmed that the main cause of death for actor Gene Hackman was heart disease. The report also notes that he was in advanced stages of Alzheimer's disease and likely hadn't eaten for a long time. It documents the 95-year-old's poor heart health and says he'd experienced heart failure, had an aortic valve replacement, and was given a pacemaker in April 2019. Hackman tested negative for the hantavirus, which is a rare but potentially fatal disease spread by infected rodent droppings. Authorities have said Hackman's wife, Betsy Arakawa, likely died February 11th at the home from hantavirus pulmonary syndrome. Her autopsy report hasn't been released yet. I'm Haya Panjwani.
Yeah, and there's like a speculation that she died first and he was just walking around the house, maybe not even aware of what was going on or what to do about it. A really, really sad story. If you like superhero movies, there's a good one coming up this summer for you.
He's back.
Superman is back July 11th in the U.S., and he's not the only comic book star with a summer blockbuster.
Whatever life throws at us,
Fantastic Four First Steps comes out July 25th. A lot riding on summer films, but with big movies like F1 starring Brad Pitt and Damson Idris.
When was the last time you won a race?
Sunday, Daytona.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Formula One.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then same as you.
This summer has the potential to cross $4 billion at the box office, and it kicks off May 2nd with Thunderbolts. Also on tap, Jurassic World Rebirth, and live-action versions of How to Train Your Dragon and Lilo and Stitch, among others. I'm Julie Walker.
I mean, do we really need another Superman movie? I mean, really? I don't get it. All right, that's it for Scoot's News Briefs. If you're on hold, hang on. We're going to get to your calls coming up. On this day in 2021, Johnny Crawford, the singer and actor, passed away. He was 75 years old. Johnny Crawford may have been the first celebrity I really remember meeting. I was, I guess, 14 or 15. And Johnny Crawford also starred with Chuck Connors in the TV series The Rifleman. He was Chuck Connors' son, another TV show about a single father. And he was at the Houston Rodeo in Houston, and we went over to that. My dad took us over to that, and I had a chance to kind of go in a backstage situation because my dad had connections. And I've got a picture somewhere of me with Johnny Crawford, and so, you know, he was kind of my hero. He was one of the original Mouseketeers and also starred on The Donna Reed Show, Mr. Ed, Hawaii Five-0, Little House on the Prairie, and Murder, She Wrote. And he had a single that actually made it to a number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100 charts in 1962. It was Cindy's birthday. Johnny Crawford was kind of a teen idol for a long time. Passed away on this day in 2021 at the age of 75. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, it was on this day in 1975, Bing Crosby's White Christmas played on American radio service. This was known as the message to evacuate Saigon, to evacuate Vietnam. The playing of this song on this day on American radio service in 1975 marked the end of the Vietnam War for Americans. The word was out there. When you hear the song White Christmas, that's a message to evacuate. The announcement came again on American radio service, and it was also accompanied with the statement that the temperature in Saigon was 105 degrees and rising. That, followed by White Christmas by Bing Crosby, was the message for everybody to go to a certain point and evacuate Vietnam. At the height of the Vietnam War in 1968, over 500,000 American troops were fighting there. Some of you listening to this show were in Vietnam, and I personally thank you for your service. There were a lot of protests in this country, and unlike today, the troops were not celebrated. The troops were almost blamed for the war, but it wasn't their fault. They were doing the job they were asked to do, and this country did not treat Vietnam veterans in the proper manner. Not at all. What is good about the world today is even if people disagree with the war, they still support the troops. All right, let's get to a couple of your calls. Let's go to James on the North Shore. James, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me back on today, Scoot.
Sure.
I'm just calling in to really talk to people and say that, to me, these tariffs are just a distraction for the people to get us to bring in Project 2025 for the Trump administration. Because if they were really going after tariffs to do away with the income tax and to do away to cover these taxes and all that, they wouldn't be making deals on tariffs. They would be sticking to the tariffs to do the bigger picture of doing away with the income tax and taking care of the tax cuts that they want. But it's not. It was just, to me, the tariffs was a distraction to try and weaken human rights around the world and to bring in Project 2025, because really their plan is to not give power back. They never want to see Democrat with power again, or moderates.
No, that's right.
And that's why I believe, yeah, and I believe the moderates are the adults in the room. We just want to keep things in the middle. We want things in a way that works for everybody, not just that works for this side or my side. We're all together. Like I said before, it ain't MAGA, it's family. Yeah. It's my uncle. It's my brother. It ain't just some person on the other side of town who's a MAGA lover. No, it's my family. I live with them. We all live together. We got to stop this bloodlust and this hate that's going on in the world today. We're better than that. And there's so many things. I tell people who are worried, just live through it.
Well, you know, go ahead.
Well, just the next 4 years, things will change. Don't get so broken and beat up by things that are changing right now. Things could be worse by the end of the year. If they really want to go after this Project 2025, later on this year could really be some big changes coming that we, you know, people just hadn't seen before in America. Like my mom says, my mom's kind of like Janice, where she was Trump, 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 but lately it's totally changed. She's more on a Janice boat wagon where starting to see the lies. They've seen the lies the whole time, like my mom says. She just didn't believe it. She just really didn't believe it. So now she's really seen it with her own eyes and speaking out.
I think a lot of people who bought into Trump, I mean, hook, line, and sinker, at the very, very beginning. And I mean, I kind of did too. I mean, it didn't take me long to figure out who he was, but I understood why he won. I mean, I wrote blogs before Trump won the first election. I wrote blogs that were posted on WWL.com about why Trump can win. And he was the darling of the media in the beginning. I mean, I understood that. The problem is people don't want to admit to themselves that they might be wrong, because that's a criticism of themselves, and they don't want to admit that. So they double down on everything. I think it takes courage to admit that you might not have been right about something, about anything. And it takes more courage to admit you're right than to double down on feeling that you're right, even when you kind of know deep down inside you're wrong. But James, there are people who want to be far right. There are people who have this image of America that is far right, that is segregated, that is not gender sensitive, that is really, that shuts a lot of people out. There are people who want that. But most people have a moderate tone. Many Republicans and many Democrats align with a party, but there are a lot of Republicans who kind of lean a little bit to the left on some things, and a lot of Democrats who lean to the right on some things. So those of us who are, you know, radical moderates like myself, we are the majority. Before I get to another call, let me very quickly go over these numbers again, the latest poll numbers on Trump's 100th day in office. And I want you to notice something interesting. All of these polls are basically saying the same thing, from the Fox News poll to the New York Times poll to the ABC News poll. They're all saying essentially the same thing. Listen how close the numbers are. Excuse me. The new Fox News poll shows 44% approve of Donald Trump, 55%, a majority, disapprove. The ABC Washington Post poll, 42% approve, 55% disapprove. New York Times, Siena College, 42% approve, 54% disapprove. CNN, 43% approve, 57% disapprove. Reuters, 42% approve, 53% disapprove. Pew Research, 40% approve, 59% disapprove. Associated Press, 39% approve, 59% disapprove. They're all in the same basic area. So there's been a big shift since Donald Trump became president, and I guarantee you, he and the people around him are noticing this. JR's on the North Shore. JR, you're now on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, it's good. How you doing?
I'm good.
I want to talk about the using the military and law enforcement.
Okay.
First of all, let me say this, okay, before I get to my point. You know, I'll give Donald Trump credit where credit's due because I'm not really a fan. But, you know, shutting down the border with using the National Guard and all the resources they had, that was a good idea. I've been saying that for years and years and years, you know. I mean, it was a good solution. It's boots on the ground. It could have been done a long time ago, but nobody wanted to take the political capital to do it, you know. Point in question is, you know, years ago, we had a crime problem in a certain area of the city. Well, guess what? We got a federal grant, and we went there, we put boots on the ground, and applied all the resources that were given to us, and we cut crime in half within 3 months, you know, because we had the resources and the manpower to do it. And that's just the way the world works, you know. So let me get back to my topic.
Okay.
The using the military and law enforcement. A lot of people don't realize that that's being done already, or was for a while. Not boots on the ground as far as, you know, troops standing on the corner, you know, armed with assault rifles. But the National Guard and units that I've been a part of, they were a part of specialized investigations doing clerical work and doing, you know, all kinds of different things, you know. Every policeman is not out there, you know, riding around a patrol car fighting crime. There's a lot of logistical work, same thing in the service. So these people were behind the scenes. They were doing it. They were answering phones. They were doing intelligence. They were doing all kinds of things. And they were doing maintenance on vehicles. And they were really, really they're a force multiplier, basically. For every one of those you had on there, you could have a policeman doing something else. And that was a big deal back then, because that's what we were utilizing for. And a lot of the National Guard people, they're not just weekend warriors. A lot of them are full-time soldiers. And they will come to work just like we did, and they would do their job. They had certain jobs to do. And another thing, too, is a lot of those guys being part of military, but actually working with law enforcement, they went on to go into law enforcement careers. You know, they saw it, they liked it, and they moved forward with it. So it was kind of a win-win for them, too. So I just was going to say it's something that, the National Guard could be utilized a whole lot better than it actually is.
Yeah, JR, I appreciate that. But wouldn't you say that in general, I mean, the military is not trained to be domestic police officers on the street? I mean, there is a difference in the training, right?
Yes, there is. And I didn't say that. Absolutely not. I would not want, you know, military people on the street, you know. But they're not. These aren't commissioned officers. The guys that we work with, they were simply National Guard people doing clerical work, doing analysis, answering the phone, dispatching, working on vehicles. They also gave you the ability to use some of the equipment. The National Guard had a lot, you know, helicopters. We didn't have helicopters.
All right. So what do you make of Donald Trump asking Pete Hegseth and Pam Bondi to look into using the U.S. military to help with domestic law enforcement? What do you think he means by that?
He probably doesn't know what he's even talking about. But besides that, it's just that you can't take the military, the army per se, and bring tanks in on the corners and stuff like that.
Right.
But the National Guard is part of the military. They are based in locales where they know the terrain. You know, when we have a storm, you know, the National Guard comes in, they're assigned to certain areas of the city. The National Guard know the area. They're from that area right there.
Yeah.
And a lot of these people are going to school, especially the younger people in the Guard, and they're going for an education. And they're welcome to opportunities to do stuff like, you know, logistical stuff in for a police department, you know. And and it has been done before. I don't know if they're still doing it because I've been gone for a while.
Yeah.
But like I said, we had 8 of them assigned to one unit, and I loved them. I was a supervisor. I mean, they were great, you know. So.
Well, JR, listen, I appreciate your input, and thank you for your service to our country. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get to more of your calls. Also, we'll get to more of your text messages coming up. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, it was on this day in 2003, that a $5 million lawsuit against Creedence Clearwater Revival leader John Fogerty was dismissed after a personal injury lawyer claimed that he suffered hearing loss in his left ear from attending a John Fogerty concert. The judge said the plaintiff assumed the risk of hearing damage when he went to the concert in 1997. Amen to that. You know, it's amazing how many people try to blame something on going to a concert, whether it's violence or hearing loss or something like that. And the courts basically say, guess what? Man, you accepted a risk when you went to the concert. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Hey, the Trump official store is bringing back a lot of stuff. I mean, they got a lot of stuff for sale. Some of the stuff is for 2028, the campaign of 2028, if that happens. Trump 2028 caps. Trump suites, something you can take to the movies with you, sneak them in, You'd have to do that because they don't want you to bring stuff in. Trump has a coffee, a Trump-branded gold roast coffee, gold Trump ear pods that has a case that says Trump on it. Each ear pod has Trump written on it. There is a Trump USB drive. It's gold. Trump likes gold. I mean, I kind of think his taste in furniture and stuff is a little on the gaudy side. I mean, that's my opinion. If you like gold and Trump likes gold, I mean, that's nothing wrong with that. I don't care for it. There's a U.S. Bear clothing line and plushies, and it's got a fuzzy bear on it with Trump's name on the bear T-shirt, and it says USA, and it's a sweatshirt. It's something that you can find on the Trump website. There's Trump flag wrapping paper, American flags on it. This would be for the 4th of July or something. There's a Trump beach set. It comes with a little plastic bucket and a shovel if you want to play in the sand. And also it has a Trump beach ball that says Trump on it. Trump also has skincare products on sale. They're, Trump skincare products. If you want to look wrinkly and old like Donald Trump, use the Trump product. I'm just kidding. The store has polish and plump skincare for your skin to make you look nice and smooth and soft. So I just want to let you know some of the items that are now available on the Trump website. Let's go to Tony in Mid-City. Tony, you're on WWL. Good afternoon. Hello, Tony. Okay, let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Here's a text message that says, I'm a veteran, a registered Republican. I consider myself a moderate, and I love my country. Donald Trump is an absolute embarrassment. He's made us the laughingstock of the planet. I voted for him the first time. It didn't take me long to realize what a huge mistake I'd made.
This really supports what I say on this show all the time. Not everybody loves Trump. And there are Republicans and conservatives who don't like Trump. And this is an example. And so if there are so many conservative shows out there that are pro-Trump, why not have a show that's a little bit more honest about Donald Trump? And we never lie. We don't make up stuff about Donald Trump. We don't make him look worse than I think he already looks it in some cases. I applaud Donald Trump when it comes to the border. He did something that I criticized Joe Biden for not doing, and that is secure the border. It couldn't be that difficult, and Trump did it. I give him credit for that.
Talking about the tariff negotiations, here's a text that says, I realize I don't know what I don't know, but is Trump possibly crawfishing? Because that's just how negotiations work. You demand the moon, and then you meet in the middle.
Well, but you meet in the middle when the negotiations start. As far as I know, the negotiations haven't started. Donald Trump just kind of picked this word, this number out. 200 countries want to negotiate. They're coming to the 200 countries are coming to the table. Well, there's no evidence of this. And over the weekend, there were some Trump supporters and people in the administration who were asked about what countries are coming to the table, and nobody could answer. So there's no evidence of countries bending and bowing down to Donald Trump like he thought they were going to do. And so he's kind of crawfishing back on some of this, I think, because the pressure is so intense because these countries are standing up to the United States.
Sal is listening today and has this to say about using the military for civilian application. Scoot, people in the National Guard have full-time civilian jobs, except for a few weeks a year. So deploying them full-time for long-term support will just disrupt the workforce and cause employers to avoid hiring people that have a commitment to the Guard.
Well, that's why I'm wondering if Donald Trump is talking about the military in general and not just the National Guard, but the military in general.
And I'll leave you with this one. The Dow Jones stock index is down 7% in Trump's first 100 days, and the price of a Barbie doll is up 42% at Target due to Trump's tariffs, as seen on CNBC today.
Man, I tell you, when the price of Barbie goes up, man, that's got to be a sign of bad times to come. Yeah, apparently this is the worst the stock market has been under any president in the early part of their presidency since Richard Nixon. And you know, if you're a president, you never want to be compared to Richard Nixon. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, happy birthday today to Tommy James of Tommy James and the Shondells. Man, he did some great songs. Tommy James is still, I remember interviewing him when I was on the air in Philadelphia, still has the same hair. Tommy James, 77 years old today. And boy, this is one of those songs that I remember slow dancing to when I was a teenager. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. All right, Sports Talk is coming up next here on WWL, and then LSU baseball. Should be fun. LSU number two in the country. I'm using fitness and sports to introduce young people into neo-Nazi ideology. There is a national network of American neo-fascist fight clubs, youth-oriented fight clubs popping up around the country. And we'll talk about that on the show tomorrow. Also, would Saturday Night Live be funnier if they were cursing aloud? We never got to that today. We'll talk about that tomorrow. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director and brand manager, and senior producer, Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Mueller, traffic with Core DP, and as always, I thank all of you for being part of the show. I'm Scoot. Thanks for being with us. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.